Once you find it, we're going to read it together and get into God's word and learn how we can tell the truth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37, and verse 32 reads as follows. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts through your word. May your word transform the way we think, but more importantly, may it transform the way we live. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Jesus is talking about oaths. Why would you talk about oaths in the midst of talking about anger, lust, divorce, now oaths? And I said before that this situation described is one in which many Jews view swearing by heaven, earth, Jerusalem, or one's head as less binding than swearing by God. They really reverence the name of God that many Jews wouldn't even say the name of God. And so they would say, okay, we don't swear by God, but I can swear by heaven. But if I swear by heaven, I don't necessarily have to really abide by what I swore to do. And Jesus says, that's not how we are to carry ourselves as his disciples. Now, the crust of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the crust of the Sermon on the Mount, the key theme, the key verse is Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Now, look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. And that is the key crust of everything that Jesus is going to talk about. And he says in Matthew 5, verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, on hearing that, if you understood the scribes and the Pharisees, and for Jesus to say that to those disciples, that their righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, that would be depressing. Because you would say, here are people who are religious, they are the religious leaders, and Jesus, you're telling me that I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless my righteousness is more than theirs? Now, what you might tend to hear, and what they might have tend to hear, is that I must do more than the scribes and Pharisees. Well, you really couldn't do much more than the scribes and Pharisees because these scribes and Pharisees were very religious. Matter of fact, to be a Pharisee, you had to be able to quote the first five books of the Bible by memory. You had to know them by heart. And not only that, they kept the Sabbath and they kept all the laws of Moses, supposedly. I mean, these were these spiritually elite people. And so when they heard Jesus say that your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, they probably thought, I must do more than them. And that is not what Jesus was saying at all. Because what he was saying is that the scribes and the Pharisees, they had an outward morality. They were outwardly religious. They looked good on the outside. But on the inside, what Jesus said to them, and I'm paraphrasing, they was rotten to the core. That they had they looked good, they were very religious. But inwardly, Jesus said they were dead spiritually. That on the outside, they looked as if they were close to God. But on the inside, they were far away from God. Because they had made up their own righteousness. They were self-righteous. They figured, if I did these things, I would make myself right with God. And you and I cannot be made right with God. It's only God has to impute his righteousness to us. We cannot be made right with God apart from Jesus Christ. No matter how much you do, how much you try to do, you are not made right with God on your own merit. It's only through Jesus Christ that we are made right with God. And Jesus used a couple of illustrations to prove that. When Jesus was talking about that, he gave some illustrations. He talked about anger. He talked about lust. He talked about divorce. Because the first, he thought, hey, listen, long as I didn't murder anyone, I can think any way about that person in my heart. Doesn't matter. And Jesus says, no, the way you think about some person in your heart, you can be a murderer inwardly just by you being angry with someone. You can be an adulterer, not by physically doing it, but just by thinking about it and lusting after someone. He says also divorcing someone, you can become an adulterer by you saying, I have legally divorced my wife, and yet it wasn't right in the eyes of God, and you can be an adulterer. So he was saying it's not just about an external righteousness, it's an internal righteousness that shows itself outwardly. And so my first point I want to give you based on that is this. Jesus is more concerned about who you are than what you do. Jesus is more concerned about who you are than what you do. The Pharisees were more concerned about what you did than who you were. Jesus was not like that. And a lot of times we try to do things for God by just being who we are. And so he wasn't saying, do more for me, do more than the scribes and Pharisees. He was saying, number one, don't do more than them. You have to become more than what they are. And you can only become that based on your faith in me. We have to receive Christ's righteousness. Because the Pharisees were self-righteous. They was not righteous through Jesus Christ. And there is a big difference. You can be self-righteous and still not be right with God. So we want to be right with God, not just outwardly, but inwardly right with God. And letter A is this. Disciples of Jesus should be people of character, integrity, and truth. Disciples of Jesus should be people of character, integrity, and truth. Now that was opposite of what the Pharisees were. And this Sermon on the Mount is really attacking the Pharisees' way of teaching. Jesus is attacking what they have taught the people all their lives. And I want you to turn with me to in the Gospel of Matthew to chapter 23. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, we're going to look at verse 16. And this is Jesus, really, when you read verses 23... chapter 23 and 24, it's some rough stuff, Jesus says to the Pharisees. But he's had it up to here with them, and he tells them exactly who they are. Matthew chapter 23, verse 16, look what he says. He says, woe to you, blind guys, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Jesus calls the Pharisees and scribes blind over and over again. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. Because he's saying you don't even know the righteousness of God because you're trying to have your own righteousness and you're leading people the wrong way. You are blind guys. How can the blind lead the blind? And he said, you're trying to lead my people and you're blind to who I am and you're blind to God's righteousness. And he says, you have no character, no integrity, and no truth. And what he was saying, they were saying, hey, listen, you can swear by the temple. But you don't have to keep that vow. But if you swear by the gold, you got to keep that. Yeah, you got to keep that. Or you can swear by the altar, but it's not bounding. But you swear by the sacrifice on the altar, you got to keep that. So they were giving people loopholes to not keep their word. And Jesus is saying, you guys are blind and you are just pretty much on your way. And he says this when you read Matthew 23. He tells them, you are on your way to hell. And you don't even know it. And the sad thing is, you're trying to take other people with you. And he says to them, and I'm not going to let you do that. So this Sermon on the Mount, he is attacking their religious way of teaching people. So when I say that we should be people of character, integrity, and truth, he's saying that character and that integrity and that truth only come from one source, and that source is Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't it a shame that when people say that, you know, I can trust an unbeliever more than a Christian? That the unbeliever's word is more binding than the person who's a Christian? Do you know that people say that there are three people, positions that you can't trust in the world? I mean, they poll American people. They say, well, can't trust a car salesman. He gonna lie to you. You walk out and say, I got me a good deal on that car. He said, yeah, right. You think you did. Car salesman, politicians, right? And what's the third one? God help me. The preacher. Can't trust him. But I check him what he said because you just don't know. But isn't that sad? That a representative that represents the way, the truth, and the life is in that saying you can't trust a politician or a car salesman, a preacher? Why is it like that? Shouldn't be that way. And before you get so self-righteous, I watched that preacher, I watch you too. So don't be pointing at me and pointing back at you. So think about that. The question to ask yourself, can you be trusted? That's a real question. Can you be trusted? Does your word mean anything? Do you say what you mean? Do you mean what you say? Or do your word is just, to make your word mean something, you say, you better say, now you swear you're going to be here, promises. Think about it. When you go to court and you take the witness stand, what does the judge make you do when you say anything? What do you do? You got to take an oath, right? And they tell you do what? Sometimes they tell you what? They say, hey, get a Bible somewhere. Put your hand on the Bible, right? And you lay it right there. And that's supposed to mean what? That means that once you place your hand on the Bible, okay, I'm going to tell the truth from now. Right. Now, that's a lot to presume, right? Yes. That you laying your hand on a book that you don't believe in, because not going to make you tell the truth. Right. And many folks still perjure themselves and go to jail. Right. Because why? Laying your hand on a book don't mean anything. Because you say to your friend, hey, you're going to tell the truth, now put your hand on the Bible, lay it right here. It doesn't mean anything. And what God is saying for you and I as Christians, we should not have to put our hand on the Bible for our word to mean something. The way we live our lives should be enough to people say yes or no, and they say, that person who's a Christian is going to do what they say they're going to do. Now think about this, say, man, so Jesus said don't take any oath at all? Now when we see that, we say, well, based on the text, yeah, don't take an oath at all. So you think about how do we reconcile it? Is it wrong to go to court and tell you put down the Bible and say, Your Honor, I'm not doing that. Hey, you can trust me. Yeah. I'm not putting down no Bible. I said, yeah, that's what I mean. You're going to go to jail. Or when you go to the military, what do they actually do? Tell you what? Raise your right hand and repeat after me, right? Right? Or you when you get married, what do we say? They say, and so help me what? You're taking an oath. You're taking an oath. You're bringing, in other words, what Jesus said, you're bringing God into the equation. You're making God co-signing what you just said. And he said, be careful with that. He says that you've heard it said, don't swear falsely. Don't swear and you're not going to do it. But Jesus says, I say, don't swear at all. Don't swear by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, by God. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. So what I want to help us do is be people who tell the truth. In other words, paraphrasing, just stop lying. I mean, that's what I really want to say. Just stop lying. And maybe we can go home. Just stop lying. Tell the truth. Say what you mean. And mean what you say. Do you know in Acts and the New Testament that one of the first sins that God dealt with in Acts chapter 5 was in church, a church service? A couple lied. They had a church service and a funeral all at once. Ananias and Sapphira. They were some church members of Beyond the Walls, Jerusalem. And the church was having a building fund. Back then, having a building fund. And old Barnabas came in and said, Lord, touched his heart. He said, Pastor, Lord, touched my heart. I had some money put aside. But I just believe God wants me to give this money to the church. And so I've sold the property, and I'm giving all this money to the church, to the building fund. Old Pete said, amen, brother, God's with you. Whew. So, and they gave, his name was Levi, but they gave Barnabas a nickname, Barney. That means son of encouragement. So they at church, and so the pastor tells a testimony, God has blessed us, and Barnabas, man, he just gave the money to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira is out there in the audience, the crowd, saying, man, I like, man, the pastor gave Levi a nickname. I want me a nickname. So they went home and said, you know what? We got some property, too, that we can sell. And Barnabas got all this good, I mean, people talking about him. And so they sold some property, too. So they sold the property, and they said, man, we got this much for the property? And the husband said, yeah, we got this much for the property. So they said, well, do we have to get all of that? we don't need that much for the property. Do we have to give all that money to the church? And I said, well, no, we don't have to give all of that. We're going to let the Lord know our heart. So he ought to be happy with that. So we're going to give, you know, maybe about, you know, just say, we're going to give $10,000 to the church, get $15 for us to, you know, take care of some things. So Frank said, hey, sounds good to me. So Ananias said, I'm going to go to church. He said, hey, there's a sale going on at the Jerusalem Mall. So I'm going to meet you at the second service. So you go on first service, I'm going to go do some shopping. And I'm going to meet you at the second service, so you go ahead. So he's okay, baby, you go ahead. And so he goes to church and says, Pastor, listen, Lord put it on our heart. And we just feel like, man, God spoke to Barnabas, he spoke to us too. We have some property. We sold the property, and we're giving you all the money. Everything. Here it is. We're giving you $10,000. Here it is. We're giving you all the money. And Peter says, is that how much you paid for that? Okay, that's everything. And the Holy Spirit told Peter, Ananias is lying. He said, Ananias, why would you lie to God about how much you paid for this, that you give all the money to God? He says to him, he says this to Ananias, he said, no, this is your money. You can do whatever you want to with it. You didn't have to give it to the church. Or you could have gave some of it, not all of it. But you say you gave all of it. Why would you lie to God? And he says, right after the ushers come and raise his offering, they're going to raise you up out of here. And he dropped dead, and the ushers had to carry him out of the church and bury him. Like, can you imagine when an usher had to carry somebody out and bury him? Think about it. So they bury Ananias. And here comes Sapphira to the second service. You know, she walk in praising the Lord. and she said, well, where's my husband at? And so she said, hey, Peter said, hey, we got this gift over here. We want to know, is this how much you guys paid for the property? She said, oh, God be my witness. Yes, we did. Woo. The Lord is good. And he said to her, listen, you have lied to the Holy Spirit, and the same men that carried your husband out of here, they're about to carry you out of here too. And she dropped dead, wow, right in the church. And the usher said, not again. Pick her up. Okay, take her out and bury her. But then he says something. And he said, and great fear fell upon the church. And then he said something else. Now, no one dared join them. No one joined that church. They're killing folks in there. But he says, but people had great respect for the disciples. Now, how could God killing somebody who lied give great respect to the church? What he was saying, they were people who told the truth. And what he was saying, God was dealing with that in such a drastic way. He said, listen, I want you to be a person who tells the truth. I don't want lying to be a part of who we are and this group of people. We should be people of character, integrity, and truth. And God dealt with that so drastically, a lie. They took two people's lives. They said, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible. But it's in there. It's in there for a reason. And point two is this. Let your word be taken seriously. Because God takes your word seriously, so let your word be taken seriously. Don't be like the Pharisees, the religious people, who would say one thing and do another, who would manipulate people and do things to people and swear and not really fulfill their vows. Don't be that way. So just as God takes anger, takes murder, takes lust, and takes divorce, he takes oath seriously too. He takes our word seriously. And I want you to know this, that when we fail to keep our word, we reveal the character of our heart. That's letter A. When we fail to live up to our word or keep our word, we reveal the character of our heart. Look what Jesus said. He says that, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. The evil one. It comes from evil. Isn't that amazing? That our not keeping our word can reveal our heart. That we begin, that we tell lies all the time. That means we are a liar. That means something wrong with us. Shouldn't we be people who tell the truth? I mean, do you agree? Shouldn't Christians be people who say what they mean and mean what they say? Amen. Shouldn't we do what we say we're going to do, right? Amen. Then why don't we? Then why don't we do that? Now, I've been in ministry for a while now, probably about 15 years. And I can tell you the truth, and it's a shame to say this, but I got to tell the truth. I've met more Christians who lied in my faith than lied in my face than people who were not Christians who would tell me the truth. Now, I'm just telling you I met more Christians that what they say don't really mean nothing. Don't mean a thing. You can count on me, Pastor. Oh, I'm going to be there. Or, oh, yeah, I'm going to give to that. And you're like, some of you say, no, I ain't doing that. I'm like, okay, thank you. But why is it like that? Why do we have more Christians who would tell a lie than people who are unbelievers? Maybe because our heart hasn't been really transformed by the gospel. Maybe it hasn't. But it should be. Shouldn't people want to trust Christians? Don't be like the one guy who said, hey, man, I used to like hiring Christians, but I don't even hire a guy. When he first said to me, hey, you should hire me because I'm a Christian, he said, that rate, I won't even hire the guy. I mean, if he uses that trump card, say, you should hire me because I'm a Christian, I don't even hire the guy. Because I've hired more people say they were Christians and found out they spent more time reading their Bible than working. I need you to be working. Well, I'm having Bible study right now. Have Bible study on your lunch break. Can you at least work? See, sometimes we can get too overly spiritual and not work. You know that working is a spiritual thing? I mean, being a good worker is spiritual. I mean, being at work on time is a testimony of your Christianity. Do you guys believe that? Do you guys believe being at work on time is a testament of your spirituality? Do you believe that? Amen. You guys are great. Now, you know I'm saying yep when I say that, right? I said too many times, like, okay, I'm not going to say no anymore. Yes. But that's true. Man, you guys just told me that being a Christian, being on time at work, is a sign of your spirituality. Didn't you just say that to me? So what about being late the church says about you? Consistently. Being late. Now, I ain't telling nobody in here today. I'm not telling them. I'm just, so don't late, man, he got me. No. You can relax today. I'm not talking about you. But you consistently late to church, and you just told me that being to work on time is a sign of my spiritual maturity. You just said that. What about being late to church consistently says about your spiritual maturity? Can't say amen, just say ouch. You got me on that one. Let your work be taken seriously, though. We don't want a fellow to not live up to our word because it reveals our character. I want to show you something else in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 12. James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James repeating that. Let your word be taken seriously. Do what you're going to say. I mean, say what you're going to do. Do what you say. Say what you mean. Letter B is this. We profane the character of God when we fail to keep our word. We profane the character of God when we fail to keep our word. Because who do you represent? You represent Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Matthew 5, you are the what? Salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In other words, he's saying that you are my representatives here. So when we don't keep our word, we are profaning. I mean, we are profaning the character of God when we don't keep our word. Because we represent God, right? Does God keep his word? He keeps his word. His yes is yes, his no is no. He keeps his word. I'm so glad he keeps his word, amen? I am so glad that God doesn't renege on my salvation. Ooh, boy, we'll be in trouble. If God said, I save you, but cross his hands, oh, man. Lord have mercy. We would be in trouble, but God keeps his word. God keeps his word even when I don't keep my word. He says when we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Jesus Christ won't lie to you. If he says he's going to save you, he saves you. If he says you're forgiven, you are forgiven. If he says he's going to do this for you, he doesn't. Because his character, he's God. And God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Let us see is this. If God's people can't be trusted, then how can God be trusted? Now, some people say, hey, wait a minute. If God's people can't be trusted, then how can God be trusted? Because you represent God, and if you lie to me, maybe God's lying to me. Since you represent him. So if God can't be trusted, I mean, God's people can't be trusted, how can God be trusted? Proverbs 12:22 says this, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Don't have lying lips. They are an abomination to the Lord. But when you act faithfully and keep your word and say what you mean, you are his delight. There are people, he said, I can trust you. And don't you want to be around people that you can trust? Don't you want to be around people you say when they say something, you know they mean it, they're going to do what they say. Don't you like people like that? That's why he says, you should not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of our God, for I am the Lord. You ought to do what you say you're going to do. But the Pharisees had circumvented that system. They said, well, we can get around this. long as you don't swear by God, you can swear all you want to, and it's not binding. You can get out. There are people making deals with people, and they were making deals with people and not paying their debt. Just well, I really didn't. Hey, you can't hold me to it because I swore by heaven. Wasn't my God, but it was by heaven. Do we look for loopholes for not doing what God's called us to do? Do you? Do you look for loopholes? For loopholes for not doing what God's called you to do? You should. The Bible says that we should keep our word even when it hurts. We should be people of integrity. We should. We should be people that keep our vows, whether it's with someone else, whether it's in our commitment to our spouses, that our yes, when I say to death do us part, that I meant that, hey, that's it. The yes means yes, that I'm going to be with you to death do us part. So Jesus is more concerned about who you are than what you do. Let your word be taken seriously. If God's people can't be trusted, can God be trusted? We represent God. So thirdly, we are to keep our word consistently. Our word could be consistent with our character. Who we are and what we do go together. So keep your word consistently. How do we do that? Jesus said, let what you say simply be yes or no. Are you going to do this? Yes. Are you going to do this? No. And that's it. You ever had your kids try to get you in a catch-22? Kids are good about that. Hey, Dad, you going to take me to get something? Yeah. You promise? What? Like, what do you mean by that? You know, what you saying? You know? They're going to run and get a Bible. Can you put your hand on the Bible right quick? Make sure you're going to give. Like, no, I ain't got to do all that. I said I'm going to do it, and that's it. But now, hold on. We would both have to say as parents, there's been times in our life when we've said, yep, we're going to do it. And guess what happens? Hey, Dad, remember you said you're going to take me? Oh, man, I'm tired. Can I get you tomorrow? What happens then, right? They say, man, I've been waiting. You going to tell me tomorrow? Now, if you do that a lot of time, guess what happens to your kids? They don't trust your word, right? So, simply, so parents, I'm going to help you out. When your kids ask you for something and you really don't want to do it, just say no. No, I'm not going to do it. Then go to sleep. Nope, I'm going to sleep. That's it. I mean, there's no. No, I'm not going to do that. Nope, I'm going to sleep. Leave me alone. You good? See, I told you no. So hey, there's no bargaining. No, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. But we don't do that, right? We just, well, maybe just have, no. So here's the key: keep our word consistently, so people don't have to question our sincerity. Now, here's what we do. I say that letter A, honesty brings glory to God. Honesty brings glory to God. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. So keeping your word should bring glory to God, right? Whatever you do. So honesty brings glory to God. When you tell the truth, it brings glory to God. Sometimes you got to tell the truth even when it hurts. Hey, are you going there? No, I'm not going to be there. I'm tired. Now, that don't sound not like, man, you know. You say, well, I might. I try to make it. And in the back of your mind, you say, I'm not going. I'm tired. But you don't want to say no because you, well, if I tell them no, they're going to seem kind of rude, right? But guess what? Saying you might try to make it and not showing up is what? Even worse. But it's, man, say he's going to be here, but he didn't show up, right? Just say no. And be okay with that. Because sometimes what we try to do, and I know, hey, listen, especially when you've been pulled in so many ways and things. And I have to be careful to myself. I've decided to start saying yes and no, but saying no a lot more. I mean, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be, no, I just can't do that. I got stuff going on with, no. You coming over here? No, I'm not coming. That's not being rude. I'm just saying, no, I'm not coming. I'm going to be at home relaxing. So no. And what I'm trying to say for that, because then sometimes you're going to say yes. Sometimes we say, well, I might, because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, but we wind up hurting their feelings even more because we thought we gave them a perception that we were going to do some, and we had no intention of keeping it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So it's better to be truthful and say, no, I'm not coming to your house today because I'm tired. And be okay with that. Okay, maybe tomorrow, maybe. So let your yes be yes and your no is no. Honesty brings glory to God. Dishonesty pleases the devil. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Look what it says in John chapter 8, verse 44. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Did you say that? He said that the devil can't tell the truth because his character is a liar. Liars can't tell the truth because they are liars. He says, the devil is a liar. That's his character. So when he speaks from his own character. Remember I said that you not telling the truth can reveal your character? And we should be people of character, integrity, and truth? Dishonesty pleases the devil. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I just told a little white lie. I didn't, you know, go full blown. But dishonesty pleases the devil. It's so funny. And we can think about that, right? You ever told somebody a white lie? Now, a white lie can be withholding some of the truth. Somebody asks you, hey, did you eat that? No, I didn't eat that. Well, I didn't eat that today. You know, think about those things. I asked my kids one day, I heard a conversation between two kids. I heard them talking. But I knew some of the truth. And so one of the kids said, hey, do you have, there's a certain amount of money. Do you have some money? Had this certain amount of money. And he said, no, I don't have that. Okay, all right. But I knew the truth. So when the person left, I said, hey, I heard such and such ask you, did you have some money? And you said, no. And the person said to me this, well, they asked for this. I didn't have that, so, you know. So, you know, in other words, I didn't lie. I didn't have, he wanted $5. I only had three. But the key words is this. Did you say, hey, I don't have five, well, three do? You see what I'm saying? Now you say, well, what's the big idea? The deal is this. My intent was I didn't want to give you the money anyhow. You see what I'm saying? So I withhold some truth because I didn't want to give you the money anyhow. So the intent in my heart was I was stingy. So I withheld some truth. I didn't lie, right? But the character of my heart was, I was just being stingy. Does that make sense to you? And God says, I'm after your character. So I don't want you to be stingy. I want you to be benevolent and giving. Does that make sense to you? So God's more concerned about who we are than what we do. So that's what I'm trying to say for all of us, is that when we say stuff, when we do stuff, the intent is my heart is to be truthful all around, to tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me not to withhold certain things, not tell you everything. So dishonesty pleases the devil. He's the father of lies. Because he said, hey, did God truly say you're going to, he said, you're not going to surely die. Yep. So what should we do? So let us see is this. We want to keep our word consistently by being honest, not being dishonest, but we want to live to please God rather than pleasing others. Live to please God rather than pleasing others. I believe sometimes we lie to please others. We just tell lies to please other people and make them think we're more than what we really are. We lie to please other people instead of saying the truth. Yes or no. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Please God. Please God. And when you please God, then even he'll make even your enemies be at peace with you, the Bible says. When you please God, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. And Pharisees wanted to be people who were seen as holy and righteous and people pleasers, and they were displeasing God because they had no intention of keeping their vows and what they said they were going to do. That's not who God wants us to be. So if I want to please God, I must be honest with him, honest with you. I must say what I mean. I must mean what I say. And I must keep my word. Because I don't want to be one of those in that percentage with those preachers who lie. Can't trust what they say. Because think about this. If you think I'm a liar, then how can you stand and listen to me preach God's word? You're like, man, he's probably lying up there. Right? That's gonna take the effectiveness of my ministry of preaching. I'm not gonna sit down because my character is always in question. I don't believe nothing he's saying up there. I don't want to be that way. We want to be truthful for people. And sometimes we have to, well, not sometimes, all the time, we have to tell the truth even when people don't like what we're about to say. They say, man, it is what it is, you know. It's the truth. Sometimes we have to be truthful about who we are. Say, hey, we don't have it all together. Now that's the most part you got to be truthful about. I'm not what you think I am. I might look like this, but I have issues also. And just as much as you need me to pray for you, I need you to pray for me. Just as much as you think that your marriage, I need to fix your marriage, you need to pray for my marriage. That we need one another. We don't like telling that truth. We don't like, well, I don't want you to say that in front of everybody. But you have to be that way for people. Say, hey, man, I mean what I say. I say what I mean. I try to live that way. And then when we don't live that way, what we want to do, we want to come back and confess it to our family, to our spouse, and say, hey, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Forgive me. I want to get right. Because some people had grew up saying, man, you represented God, and you never told the truth. So how can I trust you now when you're telling me about Jesus? Think about that. So our conclusion is this. Live in such a way that our words and actions are acceptable in the sight of God. Live in such a way that our words are acceptable in the sight of God. A lot of times we say things and we do stuff, but we really should mean it when we say things. Psalm 19 verse 14 says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's my prayer for you. This is my prayer for me. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in his sight, because he is my Lord and my Redeemer and my strength. So this year, let's be people of character, of integrity, and truth. Let's not have to swear. Let's just say my yes is my yes and my no is my no. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I can't do it, I just say no. Because I want to please God. And when we please God, He'll make you and our enemies to be at peace with us. So that's my prayer. And I started off by saying, God is more concerned about who you are than what you do. And He told His disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And what He was saying is this, don't be religious. Don't look outwardly holy and you inwardly dead. The Bible talks about us being physically alive and spiritually dead. To be spiritually dead is to be this. Does it mean that you can be physically alive, talking and talking to people, but spiritually, there is no connection between you and God. That you're dead spiritually. That there is no connection, there's no relationship. That you live your life as if God doesn't exist. You say, wait a minute, I believe in God, but you missed my whole point. You don't believe in Jesus Christ. You have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that all of us was dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were separated from God. But it says God in His great mercy and grace made us alive through Jesus Christ. And what that means is this right here. If you have not surrendered and repented and believed in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says you are spiritually dead. That you are disconnected from God. And that means that if you are spiritually dead, when you physically die, your physical body is going to meet it with your spiritual, and you're going to go to a place called hell because you're spiritually dead, separated from God. And what that means is this. God says that if you live your life while you're on earth as if I don't exist, why do you think that when you die, you want to live with me? I mean, think about it. If you live your life as if God doesn't exist, and then you die, why would you want to go to a place and be with somebody who you said don't exist? So He says, I'm going to grant you your wish to be without me for all eternity. That's a place the Bible calls as hell. But the good news is this. God says, I don't want you to go there. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want to make you alive. I want to give you a spiritual life, a new birth. That's why the Bible says we must be born again from above. God gives us the gift of Jesus Christ. And what that means is this, you can't please God on your own. You don't have to say, okay, do I have to stop doing this before I get saved? No, you don't. What you have to do is recognize I'm separated from Jesus Christ. And I come to Him today. I come and I accept Jesus Christ's invitation of salvation. And I surrender my life to Him. You don't have to know all the Bible. What you need to know is this, you're a sinner. And Jesus Christ saved me. And I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. That's all you need to know. And the Bible says that once you believe that, it says you are saved. And God does not cross His fingers behind His back. He says, I've saved you. And you can come to me. It's a free gift. So as this slide says, the next one, salvation is freedom. It's a gift. Now, many of you have opened a lot of gifts these last couple of days, Christmas gifts. You opened them. And some of us are going to pay for those gifts next month. All next year. But this is one gift. You think it's free. It's free. It's been paid for through Jesus Christ. It's free. And He says, come and receive this gift. It was on a tree. It hung there on a tree. And Jesus said, it is paid in full. My debt and your debt. Then they took Him down and put Him in a tomb. And the Bible says that early He got up from that grave. The resurrection is your receipt that you have the gift that is yours. He says, come and receive Jesus Christ. So will you come today? If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, Will you surrender your life to him? There are many people all over this room who have done what I just said. They have recognized they were a sinner, they repented of their sins, and they received Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Don't be afraid, because right now, some of you, the enemy is talking to you. He's not right here. But yes, today is the day of salvation. You come today. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word.